Well, good morning, everyone. My name is Kyle. My wife, Heather, is here with me today, and it's a real joy for us to be here. We do just especially want to thank you again as a church for your partnership in the ministry for 22 years now. You guys were the very first church that partnered with us as we were getting ready to go to the field, and so we're so grateful for your many, many years, not only of financial support, but also of praying for us. And we've just been so grateful for your partnership in the ministry. You guys are impacting lives around the world, and I've been able to be a part now. We started off in South Africa. We were there for 8 years working with AIDS patients and then Zulu pastors. And then God moved us up to East Africa, where we were the regional director for East Africa and working with four different countries there in East Africa, Tanzania, South Sudan, Ethiopia, and Uganda. And now God's moved us up to Western Europe, where we live in Portugal. We've been there for 7.5 years and have 8 countries you work with there: Ireland, Spain, Portugal, England, Scotland, France, Germany, and Italy. And so it's been a real joy for us to be there, living in Lisbon, Portugal. And one of the things that we really focus on so much with our missionaries is that challenges will come. Many, many of our missionaries, they get to the field and they're going through different challenges, they're facing different challenges, and they get discouraged and many times give up and quit. And now, it's never the reason you hear. There's always typically a front reason to that, but the back reason, the real reason, is that they got discouraged and they gave up. And missionaries, though, are not the only ones that face challenges, are they? I'm going to go out on a limb here, but I think there's probably a few of us here in the room that have also experienced challenges. And as I was praying about what to share, I kept coming back to this idea of building resilience and grit. And this is the lesson I wish I had before starting off dealing with life's challenges, the lesson I wish I had before going into leadership and missions. Because in life, we will face problems. Right? A lot of them. We will face a lot of problems. However, if we have the right mindset and perspective on challenges that are based on God's word, it builds our resilience and grit to be able to face those challenges and work through them. Now, even though everyone faces challenges, we all kind of handle them differently. And you may have noticed this. Some people moan and complain. Other people just give up and quit. Other people will seek sympathy and try to bring people on their team to build them up. Other people panic and worry. And yet others endure the same challenges with calm confidence. Why? What's the difference? It's very similar challenges. What makes the difference? And if they can find a calm confidence, can we? Where do they find it? I believe that we can find it. And the key is not getting rid of problems and challenges. The key is to become more resilient, strong, and courageous in the midst of those challenges. So this morning, we're going to look at 4 different perspectives on challenges that can build your resilience and grit. And these are taken from, I just wrote a book called Godly Grit, and so these are 4 of them taken out of the book. There's 27 of them in the book, so if you want to dive deeper into this, you can do it in there, but we're going to cover 4 of the key ones this morning. I really hope that this will be a blessing and encouragement. It's been an encouragement to my heart as I've worked through challenges, and I pray that these will also be a blessing to you. In James 1, 2 through 4, it says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." So when James tells us to count it all joy, he's talking about our perspective on those challenges, how we look at those challenges. See, we can't change our trials, but we can change how we look at them, how we view them. And as we change how we view them, it changes how we feel about them. A right perspective on our challenges is absolutely essential. So the first perspective on challenges is this, is that challenges are part of God's plan to glorify Himself. Challenges are part of God's plan to glorify Himself. In 2 Corinthians 12, 9 through 10, it says, "But He said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am weak. I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong." And I'm going to try to have the verses up here on the screen for you, because I'm going to go through a few of them. Judges 7:2 says this, "The Lord said to Gideon, 'The people with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel boast over me, saying, my own hand has saved me.'" So as interesting as this, in both of these passages, we see that challenges will bring us to the end of ourselves. Because when we get to the end of ourselves, what happens? We fully rely on God. We've got nothing left. We've tried all of our resources and we're like, we've got nothing. We have to rely on God. And when that happens, what is the result of that? God gets all the glory, not some of the glory. Because that was the case in this situation with Gideon, right? His army was 10,000-ish, and they were up against 120, so 120,000. So if they would have won, well, it could have been like, wow, that was a tough one, but we really pulled it off in the last quarter there. No, when God shrunk it down to 300, it was like, oh, we are doomed. Like, we are so doomed here. All of the trust and reliance had to be on God alone. And in the same way, God does the same thing for us many times, right? He puts us into situations where we are like, oh, we've got nothing. We are at the end of our strength, and we have to fully rely on God. When God's power is shown, He gets all the glory, because it's clear to us and to everybody else that all the power came from God. Now, as we hear that, we affirm it, but does anyone see a problem? We don't like being brought to the end of ourselves, do we? We don't like the discomfort of challenges and problems. You remember the Israelites at the Red Sea? They were a little bit terrified. Gideon was afraid. And when challenges come, we're like the Israelites. We're afraid. We're concerned about the challenges that are coming, but God doesn't want us to fear, because challenges are setting the stage for God to work. When challenges begin, we should think to ourselves, you know what? I don't know what God's doing, but I know He is doing something, and He has a plan. Don't focus on the challenge, focus on God. There was one time when we were in a ministry we were leading was potentially going to be shut down by the government. And this would have had a huge impact on our family and long-term missions. And the ministry that the people that we were working with, every time we were meeting to pray through this, we had tried everything that we possibly could or should do. And this verse in 2 Chronicles was a great encouragement. It says, "For we are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you." And every time as we'd begin our meeting and close our meeting ending with that prayer, "We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you." And God worked in a great way, a miraculous way to work through that situation. But that principle has been a great reminder there. Is that courage isn't based on knowing the plan or the outcome. It's based on knowing the one who controls the outcome. Now, I've noticed something about myself. You may relate to this. I usually am really calm if I think I know what the plan is. But when the plan changes, that's when fear starts to rise up. That's when fear starts to creep in. And here's what God challenged me with through this. If I start to fear when plans change, then my faith wasn't based on a person. It was based on my approval of a plan. It was like, I had approved the plan because I liked it, but when God changed it, We hadn't had a whole powwow with the Trinity to get my approval on that, and it had changed. But God doesn't work that way. Just to give you a little illustration of this, when we were in South Africa, one of the things we really enjoyed doing was going to the game park. And we were about an hour from that. And one day we were driving to the game park in our 4x4, and we came up over a hill, and about 40 yards away was a black rhino. Now, black rhinos perpetually wake up on the wrong side of the bed. And this one, true to form, looked up from its tree and said, "Car, charge," and took off in a dead sprint for us. And as I was sitting there, the first thing that popped in my mind was, a couple of years ago, I had read a book about motorcycle safety. And when a dog chases a motorcycle, you don't speed up. Because the dog will have time to triangulate on your new position, and it'll be able to meet where you're going to be. And so you actually slow down. And you draw the dog in. And you wait for that dog to get really, really close. And then you hit it. And it doesn't have time to adjust to your new where your new position is, and it misses you. And so I thought to myself, 30-pound dog, 3,000-pound rhino, it's the same trigonometry. This should work. So I just start putzing along. And I'm putzing along. He's coming 30 yards out, 20 yards out. This thing is, now he's moving now. Now my family have not got the updated plan. They didn't know about this whole trigonometry thing. They didn't know any of that. My kids are jumping over seats trying to get to the other side of the vehicle, away from where the rhino is going to hit. My wife's hitting me on the arm, saying, "Go, go, 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 go." All I say is, "I've got this." Yeah. I just keep putzing along. 10 yards out, I hit the gas, and the rhino misses us by about 5 yards. It literally slid past us, and it was trying to like stay on the road, and then it like rolled down the hill. It was so mad. Now, in that situation, I had a little bit of knowledge. God has infinitely more knowledge. God's got this. He has a plan. He doesn't always update us on what the updated plan is, but he has it under control. And we have to remember that even though we don't know the plan, we need to know that God has a plan, that it is a good and a loving plan. Good for our eternal good. God sometimes waits until we have no hope, until our weakness is fully evident, and then it's absolutely clear whose power it is. God gets all the glory for that. Challenges are part of God's plan to glorify himself. So a question to think about, are you keeping your eyes on God or on what you think the plan should be? The second perspective, challenges are the path. Challenges are the path. In John 16:33, it says, "I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I've overcome the world." Think about the servants that God used in the Bible. David, Moses, Daniel, Noah, Joseph, Isaiah, Paul. They all faced major challenges and trials in their life that both prepared them to be used by God, and the trial and the challenges also prepared the path for how God was going to use them. God uses problems and challenges. Problems set the stage for God to work. And the problems trained them, provided opportunities for God to work. The challenges were the path. They're part of life. Now, I used to think to myself, man, if I can just get through this challenge, things will be better, right? And then I'd get through that challenge, and guess what? There was another one. Imagine that. Some of you have had the same problem. But I would push and I'd push to get through that challenge, and then I'd get through it. I was like, oh, another one. I came across this Haitian proverb that echoes this verse just in a little different way, but it says this: behind mountains are more mountains. Behind mountains are more mountains. Very simple, but very true. Life is full of problems. And if we need to be able to work through them, we need to come to grips with that and stop panicking or living in a delusion. If our goal is to maintain the status quo, we're going to be very disappointed very often. But if we're ready for more mountains, we'll pace ourselves and we'll be ready for when the challenges come. An application of this that's been really helpful to this is remembering that problems and challenges are the path and that God's the one that solves them means I don't have to fix every problem. And this phrase has been really helpful. Work the process, not the problem. Work the process, not the problem. God's the one that has to fix the problem, but I do have steps that I need to take in the process, but God's the one that has to work out the problem. But a question that God reminds me of often is worrying about the problem part of the process? And the answer is no. Worrying about it is not part of the process. God's not up in heaven wringing his hands wondering how our problem is going to work out. God's already got it worked out. Is he up in heaven frantically hurrying, trying to get things figured out in the last second? No. He knows how it's going to work out. He's not in a hurry, and he's not worried. A great example of this is from the feeding of the 5,000. And before the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus tested Philip. It says in John 6, 5 through 6, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so these people may eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Jesus let Philip see and feel how big this problem really was. When we see how impossible a problem is to overcome, it tests our faith. And these are opportunities then for us to trust him. But that next line is so powerful. He himself knew what he would do. So Jesus asks Philip this question, already knowing what he's going to do, to help Philip be like, oh my, this is not good. And it tested Philip's faith. And God does the same thing to us too, doesn't he? He lets us see these problems. We're like, oh man. And when we see the problem, it's an opportunity for faith. Or we respond in fear. When he lets us see and feel the problem, he's testing and growing our faith. So the question is, will we respond in faith or fear? Peace or worry? Don't focus on the problem, focus on the provider. God already has the problem solved. You see that in Jesus. God, he already knew what he was going to do. But he does allow us at the same time to test our faith. He allows us to see and feel that problem as an opportunity to say, all right, I'm going to respond in faith or I'm going to respond in fear. And this is just the same today as it was during the feeding of the 5,000. There was one time when I was worried we wouldn't be able to get our kids' visas renewed because there was a bunch of laws that had changed. And if you don't get your visa, you don't go back to your country. So it's kind of like losing your job. Every 3 years, you have the opportunity for the country to be like, we've changed our mind. We don't really want you here. And you have to do something different. You can't go back. We've had a lot of our friends that have had to leave Tanzania. All of our friends have had to leave Tanzania. Many of our friends have had to leave South Africa. So if had we still been in those countries, we would have had to change in those times. So it's a very, very real thing. But I was worried about it. And later that day, as I got on that computer to try things on there, it worked. God had already solved the problem. And sometimes we can create a problem in our mind that's not actually a problem in reality. Or in our minds, it's a much larger than it is in reality. And here's what's important to remember, though. Even though a problem may be a figment of our imagination, our brain and our body do not know the difference between a figment of our imagination and a real problem. And this is so important to understand this, because when we're worried about something that hasn't happened yet, so it's not even a real thing yet, we conjure up an idea of that in our brain, and our body freaks out, and it goes into panic mode over an event that hasn't even happened yet. And the event exists only in our mind, but our body and our brain, they don't know the difference. And so it responds as if that threat were real. It thinks it's getting chased by a bear, and it responds that way. So in our mind and our bodies may be caring about countless challenges and problems that may never exist in reality. And so even though they may never exist in reality, they do exist in our body or mind, which carries around that stress of that imaginary problem that we haven't faced yet. There's a quote from Mark Twain that says, "I've suffered a great many catastrophes in my life. Most of them never happened." But it's true. Sometimes the problems are just in our minds. And that emotional roller coaster that we go through, it doesn't accomplish anything except two things really well. One, it makes us discontent and miserable. And two, it makes God look really, really small. Because when we whine and complain and worry when things don't go our way according to our plan, it makes God, the author and creator of the universe, the one who holds everything in his hands, it makes him look really small to everyone around us. Because they're like, wow, if they can't even hold it together for going through that, they're like, how big is their God? How we respond to challenges is a way that we show the greatness of God. What do you tell yourself when a negative or fearful thought enters your head? I encourage you to be ready with a clear statement of truth that's either rooted in God's word or just a statement of truth, either like, God's got this, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And if we preload that message for when those challenges come up, it helps us to speak truth to ourselves. You see this in the psalmist when he speaks truth to himself. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Sometimes we talk to ourselves and we don't tell ourselves truth. We need to be able to speak truth to ourselves. Challenges are the path. They're already solved in God's mind, but they are going to test our faith. Do you remember that God already has your problem solved? The third perspective is this, is that challenges make us stronger. In James 1, 2 through 4, it says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." We shouldn't fear challenges. We should actually fear comfort. Comfort keeps us weak, but challenges make us stronger. There's an African proverb that says this, "Smooth seas don't make skillful sailors." Smooth seas don't make skillful sailors. You need trials to grow. Challenges come in the form of problems, trials, crises, annoyances, changed plans, failed plans, and they can hurt, right? They can test our limits, but they are for our good. As I look back on the last 20 years, I wouldn't be the person I am today if I hadn't gone through the challenges I'd gone through, and neither would you. The challenges make us who we are. They build strength in us, and they allow us to grow. I often say about trials, never chosen, but never traded. I wouldn't probably choose them going into it, but after having gone through them, I would never trade them either because of what God did in me through them. One of the things I enjoy doing, I enjoy exercise, but physical exercise isn't always fun, right? If you've ever exercised, you know this. To get stronger, you have to push yourself. You have to push your limits and reach your limits to be able to create new limits. You have to stress your body to the point where it says, whoa, that was too hard. If I do that again, it might kill me. So I'm going to grow stronger so that next time I have the capacity to be able to do that. And challenges are similar. Challenges are like God's gym. They prepare us. They grow us. They prepare us for his plan. And if we want an easier life, easier ministry, we don't need fewer challenges. We need to grow stronger. And just like lifting weights or exercising makes it easier the next time, facing challenges makes it easier the next time because we're allowed the opportunity to grow stronger through them. And we often say that we want to be used by God, but his path involves challenges. It involves trials. And so to be used, we need to be willing to go through those challenges to allow him to grow us through them. Our challenges are the path to greater usefulness. The challenges today will prepare us for the challenges tomorrow. Now, most of the time, we think that our biggest problems are the challenges. But the reality is that our external problems, our external challenges are actually revealing the biggest problems. And the biggest problems are actually inside of us. And those are a lack of faith and fear as we face those challenges. Our biggest problem is dealing with that. In Joshua 1:9, it says, "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." God allows those challenges because of what they do in us as a result. We need those challenges. Saying that challenges are the problem, it would be like going into a gym and walking in there and be like, "Oh, I know what the problem is here. The problem is that all of these weights, they're way too heavy. We need to change all of these weights for those little pink Barbie weights. And then everyone will feel really good about themselves because we can all move them, right?" But that's what we want in life. We want all the heavy weights gone. We want all the little Barbie weights so we can be like, woo. We want easy. We want comfort. But we need the challenges. Otherwise, just like physically, if we don't do things, our bodies will physically atrophy. Spiritually, when we don't face any challenges, we spiritually won't grow stronger either. We will our muscles, spiritual muscles atrophy, and we won't grow as strong. Let me share an example of how God's used this in my life. Naturally, I don't enjoy conflict. I would prefer to avoid it. But in leadership, you need to address challenges as they come up, and you need to address conflict as they come up. Otherwise, it would be unloving to our teams that we work with. But I'd always been fearful of conflict and taken the ignore it and hope it goes away approach, especially when dealing with someone that's a bit of a bully. And during a coaching class I was in, one of the questions they asked was, "What's behind that fear?" or "What's behind that emotion?" So I took some time to think about that, and I realized that for me, the what was behind that fear was the concern of getting backed into a corner and like having to agree to something or getting and then regretting it later. And so that simple understanding maybe allowed me to be able to create a simple rule. If I'm ever getting backed into a corner by someone, I just say, "You know what? We're going to take some time to pray about this, and then we'll make a decision on this." And that simple rule has been so helpful in dealing with those other challenges as they've come up. Now, I share that because, one, you may have a similar challenge, but you may face a different challenge. But the principle is this. If we just deal with a specific problem, we only deal with that specific problem. But if we can take a step back and say, "What's behind the fear? What's behind that emotion?" we can deal with a whole category of problems and challenges that are similar. Because odds are, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say this, odds are you probably deal with very similar challenges over and over again. If you look back over your life, you're like, "Oh, there's a kind of a pattern here." It was maybe different people or different situations, but oftentimes there can be a similar pattern there. As we deal with a category of problems, it allows us to be able to deal with many, many problems as we work on that root of fear or whatever that root emotion is that's causing that. And this can be absolutely life-changing. When you can identify and overcome a fear, many problems either vanish or are greatly reduced in size. Challenges, they make us stronger. Challenges aren't the problem. They're there to strengthen us. Weakness and fear are the real root issues there in dealing with that fear and lack of faith. And if we're dealing with or facing a problem that's causing fear, my encouragement to you is this. Take some time to journal and think about that question. What's behind that fear? What's behind that emotion? And think through what belief what unmet expectation, what value or identity is being threatened, and is it correct? Our fear may be based on a belief or a value or identity or expectation or perspective that's not correct. And God wants us to help reframe that and look at it from His perspective. And as we do that, it pulls out that root of fear and allows faith to grow deeper in its place. Dealing with the root of fear will change your life. The fourth perspective is this. Challenges advance the gospel. God uses problems and He puts us into situations to have conversations and open up opportunities for the gospel to spread. In Philippians 1, 12 through 14, as Paul was in prison, he said this, "I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." Now, we may not see what God is doing behind the scenes, but He is at work. Paul's problems, his challenges, gave him an opportunity to be before kings. God took him places as a result of those challenges. Now, you may not, in your challenge, be not be taken before kings, but you might get taken before a manager or someone else, or it may put you into a different situation and different conversations as challenges arise in your life that are opportunities to share your faith or to be a light for God. Paul's problems gave him an opportunity to be a light for Christ and to share the gospel in new places, and his courage in those situations gave others courage. Other believers' courage to be a light and a testimony. Your courage can be contagious. God wants us to be strong and courageous. And when our courage is unshakable, it shows something about God, doesn't it? It shows that God is an unshakable foundation. It says in Psalms 112, verse 6 through 8, "For the righteous will never be moved. He will be remembered forever. He's not afraid of bad news. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. His heart is steady. He will not be afraid until he looks in triumph on his adversaries." If we're easily shaken, it makes God look small and weak. But if we have faith and courage, it makes God look great, because we're built on an unshakable foundation. It shows that even if everyone else around us is being shaken, our foundation isn't. And it makes people wonder, what's different about them? Why are they able to walk through this with calmness and courage? Then they have questions then about our God. And it gives us the opportunity to share with others about the greatness of our God. Others can't see the greatness of God, but they can see, but they measure His greatness by the measure of our faith. When I started writing that book, Godly Grit, I actually started writing it when I was in the ruins of an old fortress in Portugal. And a thought kind of struck me, though, is that being in a fortress doesn't actually make me any stronger, does it? The strength is not me. The strength is in the fortress. But if a soldier was sitting in that fortress and shaking in his boots, what would that communicate about the fortress? Well, it would communicate to everyone else in the fort, these walls might not hold, guys. Like, we may be in some serious trouble because, you know, that guy there that's been here, he is terrified that the army's going to get through this wall. And then we communicate the same thing when we are fearful, because our fortress is God. God is our fortress and our strength. But if we are calm, it shows not that we are strong in and of ourselves, but that our fortress is strong. And so our faith shows the greatness of the fortress, the greatness of God. Whenever we face a problem, remember that God may be putting you in a situation that is an opportunity to advance the gospel. And God's working through you to be a light in the darkness. When we are in South Africa working with HIV patients. The first day we took our young kids with us out to the HIV/AIDS support group was a day we won't forget. Our girls at the time, Abby and Emily, were 4 and 5, and we had really prepped them well on how to be able to be around these HIV patients, to be careful of any cuts or anything like that. And we took them with us, but we weren't prepared for all the hugs that the patients wanted to give them. And as HIV patients are giving them hugs and all this, as a parent, you're like, you're not sure what to do in that situation. And we knew that if we tried to like pull them back, it would have destroyed our ministry. And in that moment, you had to rest in the fact that, you know what? God has brought us here, and he's going to keep us as safe as he wants to keep us, as is going to be best for our eternal good. And having to trust that God would keep us safe. And that simple act of faith of bringing what was most valuable to us to that support group opened up doors for the gospel for years to come, for the rest of our time there in South Africa. Challenges are an opportunity to show Christ. Getting things done is not the goal. Showing Christ is the goal. Even in the midst of our trials and problems, and even if we're not getting anything done, we can still be accomplishing our greatest goal, which is to make much of Christ. And Paul recognized this. He said in Philippians 1:18, "What then, only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice." So we have to remember our goal. Challenges advance the gospel. Is your goal comfort or making much of Christ? When we were in South Africa, one of the things we really enjoyed doing was going camping each summer for our family vacation. We'd go up to the mountains to camp, and every year it would rain a few of the days. And when you're camping, what are the enemies of camping? Rain, wind, and cold. And so you're at war with rain and trying to stay dry with all the tarps and everything. But I remember one year I wanted to hike up to the top of Tugela Falls, which is the second highest waterfall in the world. Rules were, anyone that wanted to go, we were not turning back unless there was a blizzard, and there was no complaining. And so those are the rules. And so Abby and I went on this hike, and we went, and the first half of the day, we hiked through a rain cloud. You could only see maybe 30 feet in front of you, if that. We were climbing up these chain ladders on the cliffs to get up to the top, and you could hardly see anything. It did clear up later, but as I was looking back on that, I realized, you know, the rain, it didn't bother me. Why? Well, my purpose was different. When I was camping, my purpose was comfort. When I was climbing, my purpose was to get to the summit. And the same thing is true in our life. When we look at our challenges through the right lens, the right perspective, it doesn't change the challenge. You're still tromping through the rain of life, but it does change how you feel about it, because you have now a purpose to go through those challenges with. And the same thing is true in our life. Changing our perspective on our problems doesn't change the challenge. It changes us and allows us to work through those challenges. So the four perspectives we looked at today: our challenges are part of God's plan. Challenges are the path. Challenges make you stronger. And challenges advance the gospel. I want to close with the verse we started with in James 1:2. It says, "Count it all joy." So in other words, your perspective, look how you're going to look at it. "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds." You have to choose to count trials joy. And changing your perspective on challenges will build resilience and grit. It'll enable you to be joyful in the midst of challenges and trials. It'll help you to endure. Why? Because you're focused on what he is doing. Changing your perspective will change your life. What challenge do you need to change your perspective on today? Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your grace. We thank you that you are a God who is in control of all of the challenges, all of the things that come to our life, Lord. And we pray that you will help us to to keep the perspective that is based on your word and based on your perfect sovereign control and your goodness. And Lord, we pray that you would be honored as we do that, as we walk through the different challenges that inevitably come our way, that you would be seen as great. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.